Down the sideline, touchdown!
And he looks the other way and it's intercepted!
Welcome to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
Inside the five, Watkins to the end zone.
Brought to you by 7th Street Casino and GEHA Insurance.
And it's Williams with another touchdown!
Here are your hosts, Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome in to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com here. Dusty Likens behind the glass, sitting across from Jay Binkley. The Chiefs win their third game of the season, defeating the Baltimore Ravens 33-28 in a game that I think a lot of people thought would be this quarterback battle. But instead of that, it was the Chiefs getting out to an early 23-6 lead, eventually 30-13. And the Ravens really just playing some odd version of catch-up. You had John Harbaugh going for it for 2 points. And it didn't really make a ton of sense. But the Chiefs ultimately win the game. Patrick Mahomes, the reigning MVP, 27 of 37, 374 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. If you want to get involved in tonight's show, you can text us on the Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line 69306, or you could call us 913-576-7610. Bink, better late than never.
Better late than never, Pete. That's what I want to say.
We're finally on the air.
Well, you know what, though? Time to reflect. We've had time to reflect. It's not the instant reaction. You know, cooler heads prevail. It usually works out better when you lose, but when you win, it's kind of the same status quo. I think we've all have kind of the same thoughts that we did right after the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little bit delayed while we were waiting for the lovely Royals to finish up, which they did. The Chiefs' offense, I thought, was really good at the beginning of the game. It seems to slow down. You know, once the second quarter hit, that's when all the touchdowns came. And then, again, I think it was just, you know, defending against the Ravens, getting back into the game. Great game for LeSean McCoy, who entered and was questionable with an ankle issue and fought his way through the pain. I mean, James Palmer of NFL Network tweeted out a video early this morning of him hobbling in, and McCoy gets in the game, ends up having 8 carries for 54 yards and a touchdown on the ground and 3 catches for 26 yards and a touchdown through the air. So Shady coming through on a week that Damian Williams was unavailable.
Shady was good today. I was a little bit surprised that he was going to be the bulk of the carry, especially when he's, you know, hobbling in, like James Palmer had, where he's hobbling into the game. I thought this might be a time we might see a little more Darwin Thompson. But clearly,
yeah, Darrell Williams
for really Darwin Thompson
was the choice over Thompson, which I thought was a little bit of a surprise. But he's been in the system for longer. I think they've kept him for a reason, and I think we saw a little bit of that today.
They like Darrell Williams a lot. And, you know, undrafted last year, this was actually a nice pickup by Brett Veach. It really was. Undrafted, and we've gone over the numbers. He had more yards per carry than Darius Geis when he's at LSU. He backed up Geis, and he backed up Leonard Fournette. You know, he's been active every season so far this year, and to me, he was kind of the forgotten guy at camp. We spent a lot of time talking about Darwin Thompson, a lot of time talking about, well, Carlos Hyde, who's now gone, and, of course, Damien Williams as well. But Darrell Williams is just that guy that was there. Now, some of the breakaway speed not there, although I'll say this, he got shoestring tackled there where I thought he was going to break away and actually get into the end zone, Pete. But 9 carries, 62 yards, and, of course, out of the backfield too, 5 catches, 47 yards. That's the stuff you want. Again, you're seeing the same type of attributes from Andy Reid running backs that you had from Damien Williams. You know, people talk about Damien Williams being an outstanding receiver of the football, but make no mistake about it. Darrell Williams and LeSean McCoy have shown the ability to run the ball better. Damien Williams has struggled this year running the football. The Chiefs had their most productive day running the football, which I think was a good sign. What was that?
You just coughed, so I just did an Andy Reid cough.
Andy Reid cough. But 140 yards on the ground today. This was pleasant to me because the Chiefs really had struggled running the football. You go back, you know, the last week against the Raiders, not able to run the ball, 31 carries, 1.4 per, 140 yards today, 5.4 per, and 113 yards, 4 per against Jacksonville. This was the best day running the football against the defense in the Baltimore Ravens that are off to a good start, and I know they haven't played anybody, but last year, you know, you're talking about first in overall defense, fourth against the run, fifth against the pass. The Chiefs have faced two very good defenses so far this season, and that's something to like. It's not like Baltimore when you're facing Miami and you're facing Arizona. No, you went out today and faced a very good Ravens defense. Wink Martindale has been a great defensive coordinator for them, and you showed that you could put 40 points on the board at Jacksonville and all that heat they were talking about in Jacksonville. But things are starting to come together. We'll get into it more. They can't stop the run still. That's still a big concern to me. But at least this part of the game, Cam Irving was Pro Football Focus's last rated tackle as far as with the run last week. Number one in pass protection. He looked really shaky at the beginning of the game. I felt he kind of turned himself around.
They got to figure something out there. But that's not the answer.
But the fact that the Chiefs were able to run the football was a very good sign. But Darrell Williams showed, you know, running the football, catching the football, and again, good blocker in the backfield as well. But LeSean McCoy and Darrell Williams, very similar attributes, and you can see why Andy Reid has trust with those two guys over anybody else. Damien Williams clearly with the pass, but I'm sorry. As far as on the ground, I think Darrell Williams, LeSean McCoy, better runners than Damien Williams.
Yeah, Darrell Williams and LeSean McCoy combined for 116 yards. I think you nailed it on the head. There's still a really clear problem with defending the run. The Chiefs could have to figure that out. But on this show, you're going to get to hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, LeSean McCoy, we talked about, Chris Jones. You can also call in, chat with us. We'll go right out. Talk to Dan in KCK. What's up, Dan?
Hi, Pete. Hi, Bink. This is a great team win by the Chiefs and a great running by Williams and McCoy. How about the receiving by Hardman? We're blowing right past the Ravens defense. And how about who scored that last touchdown? I'm looking at the box score right now. Yeah. Oh, yeah, one-handed catch by DeMarcus Robinson. Great offense by the receiving corner. How about Frank Clark getting a sack? And how about trying to think of somebody else. It was kind of an odd decision by John Harbaugh to go for two. It was 30-13 instead of going for the extra point, and that was kind of odd, too. But anyway, it was a great team win. Let's take care of the Lions. Take care, guys.
How about Emmanuel Ogbah getting a sack and a half? How about Emmanuel Ogbah lead the Chiefs in sack?
A wild and wacky game. I thought it was weird, the two-point conversion, too. Mecole Hardman, I think, doing the big things and the little things. Incredible one-handed catch by DeMarcus Robinson, and I think you nailed it on the head. Three quarterback hits for Emmanuel Ogbah. And don't forget, how did you acquire him? It was by trading Eric Murray away to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, through as B.J. Kissel put out, through three games, 2.5 sacks, 3 tackles for losses, 4 quarterback hits. No, I'm not talking about Frank Clark. I'm talking about Emmanuel Ogbah, who sprinkled in there because he's not the starter. It's Okafor and Frank Clark. But Emmanuel Ogbah, this is once again a guy that fits into the scheme. Not only that, but a pass defended for him as well. He's now got 18 in his career. Chris Jones, we always think of Chris Jones batting the ball. Same draft, 2016. Ogbah goes 32nd overall. Jones goes 37th. But yet, one more pass defended from Ogbah than Chris Jones that we always label as the guy that knocks the passes down. So hopefully this is another one of those Brett Veach deals. You bring him in and hope the coaching staff elevates him, but he kind of fits into that scheme. And I was pretty happy how the Chiefs set the edge today. Lamar Jackson really worried me getting outside the pocket and doing Lamar Jackson type of things. I thought the defensive ends, except the few times when Okafor got his ankles broken.
I think
the bigger thing with
Lamar Jackson, though, to me, is, and you're seeing it a lot with quarterbacks, talented quarterbacks can come in and play the Chiefs, but when you blink and all of a sudden it's 23-6, it changes the whole game. Like Lamar, Frank Clark said it in the postgame, and we'll get to it. But when Jackson believes he has to make a play and is on the run, his passer rating goes down. You know, and I just felt like, okay, you're off to a quick lead, 23-6, and eventually 30-13. It didn't allow Jackson to settle in and maybe do what the Ravens intended to do on offense, because all of a sudden you're playing catch up.
Exactly. And I thought too, Pete, as far as, you know, who were his main targets, Hollywood Brown kept him in check, 2 for 49. You know, that was a guy that concerned me with the deep ball. And then Mark Andrews, I know he came in this game banged up. It was a little bit iffy if he's going to play or not. But he had back-to-back 100-yard games as a tight end. They hold him to 3 catches, 15 yards in this game.
Yeah, and he was a little bit banged up. A game-time decision eventually goes. We mentioned Agba. I thought also on defense, Tyrann Mathieu, just a tremendous game. 3 passes defensed. Frank Clark, who has, you know, taken a little bit of criticism, was able to get his first sack. So you hope that that can kind of lead to more sacks for Clark. And again, it's an effort. And I think we, like we said, you know, we've harped on this going into the season. The defense doesn't need to be outstanding. It just needs to be all right. And I thought it was another good performance, not great, but good and good enough. And I think that's what you want.
Well, last week, Lamar Jackson set the record for most passing yards and rushing yards in a game in the regular season in the history of the NFL.
Who cares?
Ran for over 120 yards. No, stop with the who cares there, Dusty. I do think it matters that they were able to set that edge kind of and contain him in the pocket for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if there's one thing that you have concerns with, it's Mark Ingram and the 16 carries for 103 yards. You would just like the Chiefs at some point here to be able to stop one of these really good runners that they're coming into. I thought on offense, again, we mentioned McCoy. Mecole Hardman had the touchdown. Travis Kelce with another big day. 7 receptions for 89 yards. And Kelce made some history after the game, according to the Chiefs. With 7 receptions and 89 yards in today's game, Kelce has 427 receptions. And more than 5,500 receiving yards for his career. He becomes the fastest tight end in the NFL to reach at least 425 catches and at least 5,500 receiving yards in the Super Bowl era.
Just consistency.
Yeah.
The Ravens were worried about Travis Kelce getting his yards. And speaking of fast, 21.74 miles an hour, Mecole Hardman on the 83-yard touchdown. That is the fastest by a ball carrier on a scoring play this season, according to
technology and stuff.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Again, no one is as fast as Tyreek Hill, but Hardman is pretty good. And I was wrong about this. I thought it would take him a little bit longer, a little bit later in the season before he became a contributor. When you have an injury to Hill and you get thrown into the fire, I mean, sometimes you just got to perform earlier, and he's really answering the call.
Was 3 straight weeks. Sammy Watkins, the big dog in week 1, 5 catches, 64 yards. Very pedestrian day for Watkins. DeMarcus Robinson, 3 for 43, including an incredible touchdown catch. But it was Mecole Hardman lead the way with 97 yards receiving for the Chiefs. So we've seen a different receiver each and every week with Pat Mahomes putting up big numbers. And today it happened to be Mecole Hardman, just 2 catches, but the 97 yards. And keep in mind, he had that 72-yarder pulled back from him in the last game, where Mahomes would have been over 500 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Right. Yeah. And I just think too, when you look at the stat sheet and you have Hardman at 97 yards, Kelce 89 yards, Watkins 64, Darrell Williams for 47 yards. To me, that's part of what makes Mahomes really effective too, and it's probably an under-talked about trait in him. It doesn't matter who gets the football, and I think that's part of the reason he has so much success and puts up the numbers he does, because he's just looking for the read that's open, and it's the right way to do it.
No, it is the right way to do it, and really, seriously, I'll sit here. Tyreek Hill, I do think, makes a difference in this run game, and today was good to see the yardage because they hadn't been able to run without him. And the fact that they were able to run today without Tyreek Hill, because he takes so much attention away from the defense, 2 guys flowing the direction he goes, but the fact that they were still able to run the football, because that's where Tyreek Hill's, I mean, it's a big miss when he's not on the field. And I know people have seen a different receiver step up every week. Don't minimize his effect when he gets out there making this a complete offense.
Well, and you hear Earl Thomas after the game, you see on Twitter that he's saying, oh, I'll see you next time, we'll see these guys again. Yeah, that's true, but if everyone remains healthy, you're just adding Tyreek Hill back in the mix, and this is an offense, especially at the beginning of games, you know, more so in the second quarter in these last two, that's rolling, and you're going to add Tyreek Hill back to that mix, and good luck with that.
And here's where Baltimore kind of sits, as we sit here trying to define who's the next best team in the AFC, and Baltimore was kind of carrying that nationally a little bit, this third best team in the AFC, but again, who have you played? And to me, Kansas City is to the Baltimore Ravens what the Patriots are to the Chiefs. Close, but no cigar. Just like last year, the game that went to overtime.
And I also think,
they can't
too,
get over that Chiefs hump. It's like the Chiefs and the Patriots. No matter what they do, they can't quite get over that hump. But I think the Ravens, when they play the Chiefs are just a little bit better. And so far, the Patriots have been just a little bit better than the Kansas City Chiefs. So the hierarchy now is Patriots-Chiefs. And we'll have to wait and see on the Ravens. We'll have to wait and see.
But yeah, like this whole...
If Houston, who's beating the Chargers right now 27-20, Chiefs could have a two-game lead in the division today. But just see who that next tier is, because right now it's the Patriots and the Chiefs.
This whole build-up into the game, though, Jay, that like it's Brady Manning. Like Jackson is not close to Mahomes. I think we learned that today. It was a one-on-one matchup, and Patrick Mahomes is clearly the better quarterback to me. Clearly.
He is. He's poised in the pocket. He does things. Lamar needs everything else to work. He did get the running game behind him. He did not get the production from his wide receivers. And not only that, I felt the Chiefs were able to set that edge and create a little bit of pressure on him at times.
Right.
Stuff that he's not used. He's used and again, to getting out of the pocket and making people
I just
pay,
think the urgency.
And the Chiefs were there.
The urgency helps with that. Like when Mahomes comes in and puts up points early, and now all of a sudden the quarterback has pressure on, like good luck. Like good luck having to deal with that. That of course, goes into it too. You can reach out to us, 913-576-7610. Let's go out to Neil. Neil, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Boy, I wasn't even sure if you guys were going to be on the air. I had to call the other station, for goodness sake. I was like, what the heck? Anyway, shout out to Chris Jones, Tyron, Frank Clark, and Shady. All had great games. I think Frank Clark finally showing up with that sack was nice. Jones is just doing his thing. He's a bad butt every day. And Tyron, I thought, despite him not catching that interception, I thought he had a pretty good game today, finally, which is nice to see. Now, moving on to some other stuff, though. I thought the refs were completely ridiculous today. You know, when we called for a fair catch on the last drive and they didn't take a single second off the clock, is that a normal occurrence?
Or yeah, that
do you know?
Like that's right. That's correct.
What's correct?
When a player makes a fair catch, then no time comes off.
Is that true? Okay, I wasn't sure because I was like, how could they not have? Then, you know, it was like two plays later before they even had the 2-minute warning. I was like freaking out about that. But then, I mean, the pass interference call, you know, Andy Reid thought that was offensive pass interference. And it was, I mean, how could it be any more obvious? And they even after reviewing it, they don't reverse that? That's ridiculous. We should have won that game by at least 11 points. I was never more angry with a win in my life, probably. I mean, I couldn't believe that offensive pass interference. That's why they put the rule in there, isn't it?
Neil, did you place a wager on the game?
I did not. No.
Oh, okay,
no.
I thought maybe that's why.
I'm not a betting guy, but I'm just freaking annoyed. I mean, the Charger game last year, late in the year. I'm sorry, but I have a tinfoil hat. I truly believe that the NFL did not want this game to be over as early as it would have been if that fourth down conversion was not, if they didn't make that catch and they overturned it and said offensive pass interference, that game was over. And I truly believe the NFL didn't want that. The Charger game last year, they would have been out of the division race and we would have had the division locked up, but they didn't want that. They wanted the Chargers to be around the last couple weeks of the season. We had to go to Oakland and take that game seriously. We should have never had to do that. I'm sorry. I've got tinfoil hat. I'm just annoyed. This game shouldn't have been that close. Pete, you were saying it all week. This was a double-digit game. It should have been.
Yeah.
It should have been.
The Ravens were able to crawl their way back in. I'm not necessarily sure that it had anything to do with the referees. I'm not into that theory that the NFL is fixed like WWE.
So angry.
He was very angry. And let's just remember here, people. Chiefs,
officiating's terrible.
The Chiefs won the game 33-28. I will say something about the officiating. This thing where you can review pass interference, if it was going to have to be this blatant and it wasn't a true review, don't even do it. Like, don't even do it. Like, what are you doing? What are you trying to protect yourself from a team losing in the playoffs? Then only have it in the playoffs. What the NFL has been saying is for any kind of interference to get overturned via replay, it has to be egregious and obvious, even more so than the regular replay. But it's just been confusing because, like you saw today, there was offensive pass interference on that play, but they didn't overturn it because it just wasn't obvious enough. And I kind of thought it was going to go that way, and it ended up going that way.
Yeah. Speaking of clocks, and Andy Reid at the end of the first half, if you want to talk about clocks, and that to me, that was more egregious that play.
Yeah.
That's
something that Andy Reid has done. And there's jokes about it, how the time management, but if you're going to call a timeout at the end of the first half there, you have to call it immediately.
That was more egregious.
You let 8 seconds tick off. So if you have 18 seconds and you're in that area, you can maybe take a few shots down the field. You have Patrick Mahomes that's scoring, 78-yard touchdowns here, 83-yard touchdowns. Give him a few shots.
We saw Mahomes fired up today for the first time in a long time.
He did. He did have an anger streak. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Michael in South KC, what's up? Michael? Let's try Joe in North KC from the south to the north. What's up, Joe?
What's going on, Pete and Bink? Love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about Andy Reid. I thought he coached great today, not only the game plan, but getting the offensive line ready. They had to make some adjustments. He got hit too much early. That's Pat. He got hit too much early, but once they made those adjustments, he looked comfortable and just carved them up. So huge shout out to Andy, showing again why he's one of the best.
You know what? Here's the thing. Andy Reid. Andy Reid did coach a good game. Well, let's make no mistake about it, too, Pete, what this team didn't have. This team didn't have its starting left tackle. This team didn't have its
starting running back. They realized real quick that they're going to have to give Patrick Mahomes and the O-line extra help. They realized
real quick. Even though I'm not sure that Damian Williams earned that title as number one running back, as I've said to you before, because if they had Shady going to training
camp, no one holds a grudge like Jay Binkley.
What I'm saying is you don't have your number one wide receiver in Tyreek Hill. You don't have your starting left tackle in Eric Fisher. You've got a journeyman in Cam Irving trying to fill what I feel is one of the most four important positions in football: the quarterback, the left tackle, the shutdown corner, and the pass rusher. You didn't have that. We still haven't had a monster game from Frank Clark. I know we got a sack today, but we still haven't had that monster. What's funny is all the people giving Frank Clark all this credit. What about Emmanuel Ogbah? Like I've been saying, this guy's been doing it surprisingly well this year, and he wasn't getting the big money. But the fact is, they did go into the game without their left tackle, starting running back, and then LeSean McCoy came in with a hobbled up ankle.
Right.
And yet they were still able to win a game against
Shady,
what many people considered
big spot
the third best team in the AFC looking to take that jump. The Chiefs did it without being full throttle. Now, I get it. Jimmy Smith didn't play for the Ravens. I do think that matters. Marlon Humphrey did get banged up for a while, so they were without their top two corners. Marlon Humphrey did come back into the game. But again, the Chiefs weren't full go. We haven't seen the best of what this team is yet. And I think the defense continues to get better, and we've now seen 3 sacks in back-to-back games from them. The biggest concern to me is still this running game. The Ravens did have the ball 5 more minutes than the Chiefs in this game. Big part of that was that running game that they had today.
And the Chiefs scored. The Chiefs were scoring quick too. Yards. Chiefs were scoring quick too. There were a couple drives or three plays. The Hardman 83-yard touchdown catch. You listen to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. Call and talk to us 913-576-7610. Chester, what's going on, man?
Yes, sir. Destiny Pound. It's a beautiful thing to watch each game when you peak, when you develop, when you put things together. The way that it's drawn up, even the last end of the game. You know, it wasn't all runs, but they threw a play in there, and they executed. And it was easy for them to run out the clock. When you put all that together in all 4 quarters, who motivates the motivator? The quarterback automatically going to get his TD passes, 374. He's going to get his passing yardage. But who motivates him? You know, you surround your core. They motivate each other. They know they're going to peak. They know they're going to have some come out of their pay grade. You know, they already going to get their paycheck and their payday. But now when you see some people moving toward that destiny battle, going to get into that promised land, getting closer, hungering and thirsting to taste it and different things, then you're going to see more than agitation. You're going to see them doing things they've never done before, going places they've never been before, and they're going to peak. And I'd rather be 3-0 and have to adjust, especially on run defense, than to be 0-3 and have to adjust. It's better watching the game film, and just like the coach said, how about them Chiefs? God bless you.
Mm. Who motivates the motivator?
Agitation in the winning machine is what keeps the clothes clean, Pete. That's what the Chester once said. But speaking of Mahomes here, look, 374 yards today, 3 touchdowns. He's got 10 touchdowns this year, no picks, 443 last week, 378 the week before. These are amazing. He's putting up halftime stats that we would have taken as a full game for Alex Smith. It is just how good Pat Mahomes has been this year.
Right. I mean, we were in the days of 250 yards, and if Alex managed two touchdowns, I mean, that was an exciting Sunday.
He's got 60 touchdowns now in his last 19 games.
Very different. Mike in South KC, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, my man?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right. Now, I know, we won today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a good deal, but my hats off to Justin Colquitt for breaking that record.
225 games with the Chiefs. That is another one of the records broken today by the Chiefs.
Nerd.
Dustin Colquitt, nobody in Chiefs history has now worn the uniform as many times as Dustin Colquitt.
You know what, though? I have to give the edge to the guard that won 224 games. Just a little bit of different physicality within that. Andy Reid, by the way, he's 6 all-time now. In regular and postseason wins, he passes Chuck Knoll today.
Rising up the ranks.
He's 19 behind Curly Lambeau. But nobody's going to catch Don Shula at 347. But here's the other thing, too, about the Chiefs, Pete. We're looking at what they're doing in September, getting off to these good starts. 3-0 last year, 3-0 the year before. They started off 5-0 in 17, 5-0 in 18. They're 3-0 so far in 19. They're getting off to these fast starts. And that's it. That's including the last 2 years playing your first two games on the road. Last year was not easy going to play the Chargers, then beating the Steelers. Of course, they beat the Patriots in week one 2 years ago. This year, they've gone to Jacksonville. Then they went across the coast to Oakland before coming back and winning. But they're getting off to a good start building that confidence with their team. Andy Reid gets his teams ready to roll. Now, can he parlay that into January? We'll see.
Andy Reid in charge of getting the Chiefs to 3-0. You'll get to hear him after the break. We'll be right back.
The Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show, presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. After a 33-28 Chiefs victory, they improved to 3-0. It's time now for the AP Sounds of the Game, and that's brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Hit it.
12th play of the drive. A shift. On the game, McCoy, touchdown, Kansas City. Shady goes airborne. Receiver. Kelce in motion, first down Kansas City, under 8 minutes to go, first half. Mahomes deep drop, off his back foot, uncorks. Marcus Robinson, fantastic grab.
Yeah, Andy Reid says that DeMarcus Robinson is a star in the making. This is a star catch. On the corner route, watch the right hand go up, stop the ball, bring it back to his body. Toe tap in the end zone. It doesn't get any better than that. Beautiful throw and catch.
Line of scrimmage is the 17. Court remains in there. Mahomes looking to throw it. He will. Delivers downfield. Catch made. McCole Hartman. Goodbye. A blur. Touchdown, Kansas City. They can strike from anywhere.
And any time.
Those sounds courtesy of CBS Sports. The AP Sounds of the Game brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Those were the 3 second quarter touchdowns. So just a week after Patrick Mahomes throws for 4 touchdowns in the second quarter against the Oakland Raiders, 3 touchdowns for the Chiefs in the second quarter against the Baltimore Ravens.
Impressive nonetheless, Pete. Are you shocked at all that did it even seem like the Ravens were that close?
I think
it didn't to me.
I think there were 2 times when I thought, okay, maybe this can get interesting. The beginning, when they go up 6-0 a weird exchange there where they ended up going for two and then not making it. And then toward the end, a little bit, when they started to crawl their way back in, you know, 30-22, I thought not going for, you know, just an extra point to make it 30-20 was odd. But then all of a sudden, it was a one-score game. Toward the end, they crawled their way back in, but by then it was too late.
And here's the one thing about it. You look at last week, they were down early against the Raiders, 10-0. And I don't know if you watched that mic'd up deal with Mahomes mic'd up last week on the Chiefs, put it out there.
Yeah.
And just Bienemy, you know, talk. Just, and I get a lot of respect. I mean, Bienemy, he kept it cool. He's like, all right, let's calm down. Let's chill out and stuff like that. We'll get it. You know, there's Mahomes there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You think about all the prima donnas in the league.
Yeah.
You're calling your coach, sir, twice. I was impressed by that. But just keep it calm. And we're so used to the Chiefs getting off to that hot start. That streak ended earlier this year by scoring in the first quarter because
right.
It was the second play. But today, 21 straight games of scoring at least 26 or more. That was already an NFL record of 20. 21. But the fact is, you know, this team, I never feel is out of it. Even if somebody was going to be up 21-0, I would not put the Chiefs out of this game. Remember when Ben Roethlisberger took the Steelers back last year after the Chiefs built that early? The Chiefs were able to overcome that. Good quarterbacks will do that. It's that fear they strike in the opponent on the other side that no matter what the score is, they have a chance to always bring their team and get back into the game. And we've seen the Chiefs, you know, be on the opposite side of the scoreboard at the beginning of the game. But it doesn't panic does not set in like it did before. Even with Alex Smith, we found ourselves in a hole. I didn't know.
Right.
Remember, he went years without scoring within the last 2 minutes of the half or the game before he finally did on a field goal against the Cincinnati Bengals. The second to last year Smith was here. But I never feel where that panic sets in when Pat Mahomes is the quarterback, even when they're down. Because you think they make little mistakes. Andy Reid's going to make those adjustments, which he does. I've seen the defense actually make some Andy Reid-style adjustments at different times, which is impressive. The play calling with Andy Reid had to switch a little bit at the beginning because Cam Irving was getting absolutely torn up there. McPhee just blew right by him earlier in the game. And then Jadon got a sack on him when he beat Cam Irving. So I was a little bit really, really worried about Cam Irving in the beginning, but he was kind of able to settle down, and Andy Reid, you know, played it cool with him. You know, I know you can do better, and he did. It's the trust that he has in his players, but I just, when this team is down, I just don't feel like I used to, that they can't come back. It's insurmountable, because nothing's insurmountable, especially when you've spotted the opposing team points the last 2 weeks, and it hasn't mattered.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, the beginning, I think, of last game felt a little bit different because the Raiders scored on the first two possessions, and they were doing a nice job, and it seemed like the Chiefs were really confused, and it seemed like Patrick Mahomes wasn't right.
And the Chiefs didn't score that first quarter, which they didn't want to have done.
Right, and I think the concern is if Patrick Mahomes isn't healthy, then things start to unravel. But now that he's back, it doesn't seem like the ankle's really bothering him. We saw him scramble early on in the beginning of this game. Yeah, there wasn't really any nervousness. And I think what you've learned now, too, is that the Chiefs scoring seems like it comes in bunches. And you blink. Like, yeah, it was 6-0 today, and then you blink 23-6 by the halftime. And I think that's something that Chiefs fans could get used to because Patrick Mahomes, it seems like when he gets in a groove, he can score two or three possessions in a row.
And a couple things that are going to be talked about with Mahomes today, both I thought were really good. The play fake where he had the ball hidden behind his leg, you know, ended up being a nice pass play down the middle. But the other thing, too, on the jet sweep, he was one of the lead blockers. But instead of blocking, you know what he did? He did the smart thing. He slid.
Got to protect that body, man.
There was a time Pat Mahomes would have thrown his body into a linebacker.
Got to protect that body.
He would have thrown his body into a linebacker, but he slid instead of making that block because he realized he's the meal ticket of this team. But that's the learning process of Pat Mahomes. And even though he slid on the play, yeah, I'll give him credit for that because he didn't put himself in harm's way where he could have injured himself throwing his body into a linebacker. So, again, it's just the little things like that he continues to do that's impressive.
We're going to hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, but before we do, let's take a call. Steve in the Village, what's going on?
Hey, I'm a big fan of you guys. You guys do a great job. How about Darryl the Barrel today running for a bunch of yards?
I do like Darryl the Barrel. Ken Swanson coined the nickname, but yes, out of nowhere, really, because I think a lot of people assume that Darwin Thompson would be the guy, and Darryl had a nice game, Steve.
Yeah, he did. He did. I also thought that Nandi and Ward played really well. I don't know, well, Ward better than he has, and Nandi had a great game also today on the line.
Yeah, agreed. And Nandi is consistency, and to me, Tre'Davious Ward, though you do see some struggles as far as the ball skills that I think Ward has, he's coming along. Like, I think every week he looks a little bit better. And don't forget, he only started playing this much for the Chiefs week 16 of last year, so not even a full year. Butch in Seattle.
Gentlemen, how about those Chiefs, eh? All right, a couple quick notes, and then I'm going to get out of here. So first thing, okay. 99 for Baltimore is Matt Judon. I don't want to see him on the field again if we play these guys again. He had a terrible sack on Mahomes, got up, had a throat slash toward Jester. Didn't get called on it. He should have got flagged for that.
Well, you could blame Irving on that one.
Exactly right. Hits, drops his helmet right under Darwin Thompson's chin. Doesn't get flagged for it. Should have been flagged for that. This isn't football with this guy. He needs to amp it down. I don't want to see him on the field again if we play these guys again. Second note is DeMarcus Robinson. I wrote down, he's saving his young career. What an amazing display to work outside of structure early in his career. Now yeah. Working inside of structure, we're seeing him reap the benefits of that. He's been a revelation. And then last note I'm going to make, we talk a lot about Patrick Mahomes seeing a football team the second time around and being good. Well, Andy gets his shot the second time around. He coaches against a defense the second time around, and he gets better. He gets better, and Pat gets better. I don't see how teams are going to be able to beat these guys. All right, I'll leave you with that. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
I'll say Pat Mahomes probably first on that. You know, you get him once. Although we saw the Patriots beat the Chiefs twice last year, but I do feel this defense is better acclimated to make those changes this year than it did a year ago.
I think the point with Andy Reid is good, and it's just the sense that he has all these skill position players, and that's one thing, but you need the quarterback to operate, and I think finally he has that guy who can unlock everything that he's wanted to do in his whole career. Nothing against Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick, but this guy's different, and he just allows Andy Reid to do literally whatever he wants.
He's getting so much respect, too.
San Diego Chargers, a.k.a. the Los Angeles Chargers, have officially lost to the Houston Texans. So now the AFC West standings, Chiefs 3-0, Chargers 1-2, Raiders 1-2, Broncos 0-3.
So week three, here we are already. And the Kansas City Chiefs are two games ahead of the rest of the division.
That's crazy. Hey, but the caller did bring up something too, Pete, about Darrell Williams. Listen to these numbers, Pete. Last year at LSU when these guys were there with Darius Geis. And Darius Geis, you know, was drafted.
Can't stay on the field.
Listen to this. Darrell Williams, 145 carries, 820 yards, 5.7 per 9 touchdowns. Darius Geis that year, 237 carries, 1251, 5.3. So he had 0.4 more yards per carry than Darius Geis. Geis ended up 11 touchdowns, a lot more carries. But listen to the receiving. Darius Geis, 18 for 124, 23 for 331 for Darrell Williams that year. And you'd wonder who was the guy drafted and who wasn't. So, yeah, Darrell Williams is extremely productive. And I'll give credit for Brett Veach for finding Darrell Williams.
Undrafted free agent.
And bringing him in here.
And when Darrell Williams came on the team, it was a very crowded room. So he's found a way to emerge in that. Again, 9 carries for 62 yards today. That's 6.9 yards per carry.
But it's just Andy Reid, how he uses his players. And I'll go back to this, Pete. This is Wink Martindale. He's the defensive coordinator of the Ravens. Great job last year. He's doing a great job this year as well. This is what he had to say about Andy Reid during the week. And this sums up what Andy Reid is in a nutshell. When you think about what coaches think about when they have to face Andy Reid, this sums it up. The defensive coordinator of the Ravens this week talking about the Chiefs.
And Andy Reid, to me, is, you know, we're talking about all these young, innovative offensive coordinators. He's I hope he doesn't get mad at me saying this, he's the grandfather. He's the OG of the innovators of offense. And the offense that he has there in Kansas City, everybody steals from. You know, he's the king of the RPO. He's the king of the shots. He's the king of the screens. I mean, he runs the whole thing. And when having a quarterback like Mahomes, as smart as he is, and making checks and things like that, it's a tough out. You know, I think we're just the man for the job, but it's a tough out.
It's a tough out. There is Wink Martindale, you know, being honest, very good defensive coordinator. You know, we saw the screen. work today as well. Andy Reid just calls the right play at the right time for this, utilizing whatever he has. Utilizing the players that he has. Obviously, McCoy was brought in here because that trust factor with Andy Reid. He knows what he can do. He knows his skill set. I think that was very attractive to Andy Reid, knowing what a player's skill set was and the type of plays to use them in. It just, he's very innovative. He calls him the OG of offense right here. So you think of Andy Reid in the offense, yeah. Right now, he's the best in the league.
Best in
Belichick is at defense, no question, but OG of offense,
Andy
is
Reid.
One Andrew Reid.
Andy Reid got the best of him today, 33-28 win. He was Reid after the game.
Fans, unbelievable. Man, it was loud and crazy down there. We loved it. The field crew, my hat goes off to the field crew that took care of that field after torrential downpour that we've had. And then it was great to see 25 Jamal back here beating that drum, man. What a kind of big hug from him before the game. It kind of fired me up a little bit. And then, I was proud of our guys, in particular the defense, for bearing down in the tough times. So fourth down calls, two-point plays, those end up being big for us. First of all, that's a good football team there. And their two big passing plays were really what makes that quarterback great. I mean, he put it up in bad conditions, but made plays. So he's a heck of a player. John Harbaugh's done a great job with that team over the years. I think this is his 11th year, and I'm proud of him for the job he's done. Frank Clark's sack was big at a big, crucial time. You bring these guys in here, and that's what you hope for right there. And he stepped up at a crucial time. Offensively, I thought we did a nice job offensively. Patrick had another big day. The runners combined for over 100 yards, did a nice job. Receivers, you saw our young Cole there make some big plays, and Sammy made some, Kels. And then the offensive line, that's a huge challenge. That's a physical football team right there. And I challenged both offensive and defensive line early in the week, and I thought they stepped up and kept pushing. It wasn't pretty, but they kept pushing throughout the whole game, and we were able to come away with a victory. And then Dustin, 225 games, man. That's pretty incredible. It's a record here. So my hat goes off to him, and he's still good. So tribute to him. All right, with that, time's yours.
So that's Andy Reid after the game, and I think he nailed it on the head. It wasn't pretty, and that's something you've noticed about Reid in the past. He does always say, we got to get back to work, but at the same time, they got the W, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, the W is what all that matters. And I think sometimes we're spoiled in the way we've seen some of these games, finality of them, from 14-point wins to 18-point wins. 5 points in the NFL is not bad. It's not bad. This league is built for where a field goal wins here and there, and a 5-point win is still a 5-point win. I think we get enamored sometimes because college scores get way out of hand between two teams. But in the National Football League, against a very physical team, in the Ravens, it's a very good team. But let's face it, the Chiefs played two extremely physical teams already this year and have beaten them. Jacksonville is a physical football team. The Baltimore Ravens are a physical football team. And the Chiefs stood toe for toe for them. What the Jags have? 9 sacks against the Titans this week on Thursday night? Was it 9 sacks?
Yeah.
Something like that. Something ridiculous like that. Didn't happen against the Chiefs, despite some of the things that we think about this offensive line. It didn't happen. I thought the Chiefs actually were more physical than the Jags. I haven't seen that before. I mean, you take out Foles and all the big hits the Chiefs were levying on people. And I felt today the Chiefs were laying the big hits, too. I just seen a lot more physicality in this team this year compared to last year.
The thing you like about the Chiefs is that they're better as the game goes on. I think you saw that in the offensive line today. Let's go back out to Andy Reid.
I didn't go in thinking that, Adam. I mean, that's not how I was saying. I have trust that the other guys are just going to step up and play and do a good job, and each one of them collectively, had a pretty good day. So when it was all said and done, they ended up, they took advantage of that opportunity, having a chance to play. Darrell Williams had a couple big hitters there for us down the stretch.
John's aggressive, and he came in, they were fourth downs and going for two. Was that even more aggressive than you thought? You have to kind of start coaching those guys on defense? Hey, don't take a breath after the third down.
Yeah, I know you study all this. So they were third in the NFL and going for it on fourth down. So this isn't something they caused by surprise. They love doing that, and they have the firepower to do it. And so you got to be on your toes right there. And then they've got a nice package on special teams where they can do some fakes there. They didn't do them, but there were some. Hey, Randy, great seeing you, man. Doggone, good seeing you, man. Huh? All right. All right. Glad you shaved that thing off.
Andy, on the last drive, the third and eight, I think it was, what went into the decision to go ahead and pass? I know it was
The last situation?
Yeah.
Well, we go through that every week, those situations. And not that you want to be in them, but we go through them. So with that, that was Pat's play. And, my hat goes off to him and Mike and that room right there is tremendous. Joe Blamire doesn't get enough credit for all the stuff he does. I mean, he's the name behind the scenes that kind of helps feed some of these things that we do here. So there are a lot of guys that go into this whole thing that we've been doing offensively. And that one there was Pat's Pat's call. He wanted that play if we got into that situation. And so...
He's giving up the credit there, as you heard, and I think the thing that's interesting about Reed is they said, going into the game, Harbaugh might go for it on fourth down. I thought that was a crucial mistake. I saw a lot of people on social media being like, they love this, they love the aggressiveness. I just don't think handing the MVP of the National Football League at midfield when you don't convert a fourth down is a smart football move.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. You're seeing, and I know the Ravens will go for it. Nobody does like the Eagles and Doug Peterson. But again, Andy Reid disciples in both Peterson and in what we saw in Harbaugh. But the Chiefs, they've just forced people to play differently. People know they have to put up points against the Chiefs. And I think we'll see this more and more throughout the year, Pete, especially teams playing the Chiefs. Is there a certain way to play them? And again, going back, I'll give Andy Reid credit for not being predictable, because at the end of the year last year, during the regular season with the Chargers, the Ravens, those game, the Seahawks, the game, and they lost two of those. As we went down the stretch, they ended up losing to the Patriots. Teams were playing the Chiefs much differently. They got more into the ball control mode against this team, and I thought we're kind of forcing the Chiefs' hands. The Chiefs had enough film out there. There were teams we're starting to put together. How do we beat the Chiefs? We keep Mahomes on the sideline. We do all these type of things. But I think teams feel a certain responsibility to keep putting points on the board when they can. And you'll see more teams go for it, I think, against the Chiefs, because the only way to beat them is to score points.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think having that pressure and realizing the Chiefs are going to put up 35, it makes you think a little bit. And I think you're seeing that. Let's continue on with the Chiefs head coach.
We called it.
His design, too? Or,
No, it wasn't his design. It was actually off the play from the week before, but hey, you're supposed to know that. Penalties, right? I mean, penalties. We shot ourselves in the foot right there. We moved right down the field, and then two penalties back-to-back, or a penalty and a sack, whatever it was, it's, can't do that. Not against a good team. So you do that, you're going to get behind.
When you mention Pat, that's Pat's play, is that something where from the 2 year old art being clinic, you see more schematically?
Yeah, that wasn't – okay, let me just say. So what we do is he has the whole game plan. So right. Saturday night we go through and we hit those type of situations. What would you like? We ask each quarterback – what do you like if it was this situation? So, it's a 4-minute situation, 3rd and 10, and so that was his play for that situation.
I guess,
but that was already in the game plan.
Right. But I guess in year two, how much of that do you feel like is there more synergy between the two of you all to know what each other wants to do in a particular situation?
Yeah, if I knew what synergy was, I'd be good with it. So, but I would tell you this, that that I keep it open with those guys. So if they've got an idea that they're feeling, let's put it on the table. So we give them the game plan. Now the coaches give them the game plan. But if there's something that he's feeling, absolutely, you listen to him. So that's all part of this. We don't close our ears on anything. And you check your ego on that kind of stuff. A lot of people kind of put their ego out there. But you try to check your ego on that and then keep it open.
Dre Chris Paylor joins The Drive Tuesdays at 3:30, 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station.
So you continue to hear there Andy Reid, and I think what was interesting in that last bit was just the relationship he has with Patrick Mahomes. These guys, they meet every day, and you heard their meeting last night before the game, talking about individual situations. I think they just need each other so much, and it's just the perfect football marriage for all this success. And Reed's got to be thrilled to have to be able to work with this guy.
The quarterback coach combination is so important. And last week it was when they were meeting, John Madden called. Reed says he talked to Madden, so he puts Mahomes, you know, on the phone with John Madden. So yes, he meets with him all the time. And again, as you and I talked about, Pete, in the preseason, we talked about this at night at different times. Andy Reid seems different this year.
He's joking around. He's laughing.
He is. He seems different. And again, you know, I'll go back to Bill Walsh. You know, the book that he put out. He'd be out at dinner with his wife, and think of a play for Joe Montana, and he'd sit there on a napkin and write it. Like, Andy Reid seems like the type of guy to me to carry around Post-it notes. Or think about it, or wake up in the middle of the night.
Well, he had the Pat plays. I mean, we've heard stories about that. I mean, he's probably just constantly thinking of different things that he could do.
He's finally got a guy that can do everything. And weren't you always kind of curious with Alex Smith, the kind of coach that you're seeing the best of Andy Reid? When you think about the football mind he's had, and he's finally got a guy to facilitate the plays that he draws up, this is his swan song. You know, this is the last place he ever coaches. And the fact that he's finally got that guy, all those years of waiting, and he made the best out of Alex Smith. He got the best out of Alex Smith. Jim Harbaugh, I thought, got the best that he could out of Alex Smith. Urban Meyer at Utah got the best out of him. Andy Reid, for his work on Alex Smith, was great. But it's the interpretation of the playbook. And I felt like the playbook was the same. When he went down, Nick Foles comes in, same playbook. It was the interpretation of the playbook. But Mahomes is different. And he's got a quarterback that can finally do the things. I think Andy Reid can finally get those plays out that he's always thought of and could never do because he didn't have that quarterback to do it. You know what I'm saying? Just going back to the old archives, pulling it out and said, this is what I wanted.
He's been waiting for it.
Is this the guy he's been waiting for?
Let's finish up with the Chiefs head coach.
Andy, we're related to that play. Just talk about Darrell being able to get the yards after the catch that gets you the first down and allows you to
I'll tell you, he kicked through that tackle right there at the end. You're talking about Darrell?
Yeah.
So he kicked through that tackle on the end there, which was big, and he's a big kid. Now, when he brings it on you, he's going to bring it on you. So he's tough to bring down.
He had a nice long touchdown pass, but he also made a fumble recovery on that first drive.
Fumble recovery, and then whatever that thing was at the end, he fair caught. So
he was down. Those are the plays you want all the guys to make. That's good stuff. You're paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Did a nice shot.
Andy, passed up Noel today on the all-time wins list. Just any thoughts you might have about him, and even the sense of achievement that might bring.
Yeah, well, it includes a lot of people. And so it's not that ends up being a one-man thing, but it took an army to get to that point. So all the players and coaches, ownership, I've been fortunate to have two great owners, and I'm in a great position here, which I love. So it takes an army to get to that point. Mark, our president back here, he and I have been through a couple of those, so we know it takes an army.
Andy Reid, 6th on the all-time win list now, 210 wins in his career. When we come back, we'll get to these calls, CJ and Big T, and we'll also hear from the Chiefs quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, 33-28, a Chiefs victory. We'll be right back.
The Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show, presented by 7th Street Casino.